Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible study in the book of Ephesians. Bible study teacher Beth Seifert has today's lesson. And, of course, don't forget the Bible study notes and questions to help you dig deeper. Those can be found on our website, naomistable.com. Let's open up God's Word and begin. Well, today we're going to begin a study in the book of Ephesians. We're going to start today with day one. I've called this one Overview and Introduction, which is pretty self-explanatory. We will get to verses 1 through 9 of chapter 1 today. So if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles to chapter 1 of Ephesians, go ahead and do that. But first, an overview. Ephesians is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus while he was imprisoned under house arrest in Rome. While in Rome, he also wrote the letters to the Colossians and Philemon, and all of those letters were sent with Tychicus and Onesimus to the various places. Ephesus was a wealthy port city in the Roman province of Asia. It was a center of learning and was near several key land routes. Thus, there were many people coming and going throughout Ephesus all the time, and a mixture or a blending of many different cultures. Many of the things that Paul expounds upon in this letter address the ideas prevailing from some of those cultures, too, to help the people to discern truth from falsehood. There are three main themes in Ephesians, and they're all about Christ and what he has done. The first is Christ's reconciling all creation to himself and to God through his sacrifice. The second is Christ uniting the people from all nations to himself and to one another as a body of believers, breaking down barriers of race, ethnicity, gender, etc. Beyond that, he has reconciled these individuals, some of whom were formerly enemies, into one body, the church. The third is that all Christians must live as new people, no longer living to the flesh. Ephesians was written to give general instructions in the truths of God's redemptive work in Christ, the unity of the church among diverse peoples, and to help the people know what was proper conduct in the church, home, and in the world that we live in. Paul takes the time to expound to the people that all people, by nature, are spiritually dead. All people. We all disobey God's law and are ruled by Satan, who is at work in this world. Yet, God predestined his people to redemption and holiness in Christ. He chose those who would be his before the foundations of the world. Paul explains how we can see God's rich mercy in Christ, which has saved even one sinner, and how that salvation is a free gift by grace through faith alone. Paul shares with the people more of what Jesus did when he came to earth. He describes Jesus' saving work and how that was part of redeeming a fallen creation for God, and how, because of that, he alone deserves glory, honor, and authority in this age and in the next. Also, Jesus came and in his sacrifice, he unites the Jews and the Gentiles into his one body, the church, as a new creation. Christ's people are saved for a purpose, too. They're saved to live new lives of holiness in thought, word, and deed. They must reject their old sinful lifestyles and be the new creation that they've been called to. Holiness in this life includes submission to authorities placed over us, both in the home and family life, and those in authority in our government, and we must be in submission to them. Paul mentions over and over again in this letter the heavenly realms, emphasizing that the physical world is not only not our primary concern, but the spiritual world. We have to live out our lives on this earth, in this physical existence, but we do so with our eyes set on the goal, eternity in heaven with God. Also, Paul talks about many of the powerful gifts that Jesus has given to his church to bring unity, maturity, and defense against the devil and his allies. We are not powerless. In fact, in chapter 6 of Ephesians, we'll see the armor that we've been given to be victors in the battle that we are fighting. Remember, it's not a battle against flesh and blood. So today we're going to look at the first few verses of chapter 1 of Ephesians. So let's jump in. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So we have our typical here's the address stuff at the beginning. Paul is the author of this letter. He identifies himself right away as an apostle of Christ, not by his own power or desire, but by God's. He's writing this letter to the saints who are in Ephesus and who are faithful to Christ. Paul jumps right in with both feet and begins talking about the heavenly realms with his readers. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, every spiritual blessing that belongs to and comes from the heavenly realms. Notice that Paul doesn't say, we are all rich beyond our wildest imaginations. Only good things happen to us. We're given the best of everything we look at more than once. We have the best homes, the best chariots, the most servants, and the best food. We have every physical blessing possible. Paul isn't concerned with the physical blessings. He wants his readers and us to realize the gifts we've been given by God in the heavenly realms, and he wants us to realize the importance of those gifts. Remember, Paul begins this letter to this wealthy city with praise to God, not for money, not for wealth, but for every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Those blessings are the saving gifts from God. And immediately we come to one of those hard-to-grasp portions of Scripture. But ladies, I can only teach what is clearly expressed in Scripture, and I do so without apology. Paul tells us all, without any qualifications, that God chose his elect before the foundation of the world. He knew what was going to happen before he created the world, and he created it anyway, knowing man would fall and already planning to redeem his creation. Ponder that for a moment. All the way back before the foundations of the world were even made, if you are a true follower of Christ, he chose you by name. He chose me before even the world was created. That's an amazing promise. But guess what? We weren't chosen for our own glorification. We weren't chosen for our own benefit. We were chosen for a purpose, for the purpose of his will, to point to his grace and his mercy as he forgives our sins. He lavishes his grace upon us, choosing us from before time began, and forgiving us as we sin and confess and repent, covering us with his blood so that we may be holy, morally pure, and blameless, free from guilt when you are covered with Christ's blood before God. Ponder that for a second. You were not saved primarily for your own benefit. You were saved to highlight God's grace. Wow. So that people would look at you and wonder, what is different about them that God would choose them? And when the answer is, nothing's different about them, it's all about God. We see that we are all under his wrath and none of us are righteous on our own. It is only when we are covered with his blood that we are seen by him as righteous. We've talked about this before, but just a reminder, redemption means to buy back or to repurchase. God created us. We were already his, but we were all under sin too. Thus, through Christ's blood, he bought us back from the bondage that we found ourselves in to sin. Some of the things in this short bit of scripture are hard to grasp, and some of them I don't fully grasp and probably never will. But you know what? That's okay. It is at those times that you have to take a step back and ask yourself if you trust God even when you don't get it. Over and over, God talks about choosing those who will be his. This isn't the only passage in Scripture to talk about it. Check out Romans 9 if you haven't read that. But I know that God is trustworthy, and so even when I don't get it, that's okay. It's okay not to understand what God is doing. Some things we will never understand until we're in heaven anyway. However, to deny that these things are in the Bible, or to try to explain them away, that's not okay. It is there. We can't pick and choose what we like or understand in Scripture and just latch on to those things. My question for you today to consider is one that I may have asked before, but this Scripture really raises this question again. Do you know what you have been saved from? Do you know what you've been saved to? Do you truly understand that you have had and continue to have His grace and mercy lavished upon you? Or does your pride tell you that you were saved because you're better than your neighbor? Ladies, we have to understand that not only would Christ have died if you were the only one to ever accept the sacrifice of His life, but Christ died because even you need to accept His sacrifice. Yes, your sin is really that bad when measured up against a holy God. So today, as you go throughout your day, be encouraged that from the beginning of the world and even before that, God chose you to be His. He loves you so much that even before He created the world, He knew we would sin. He knew it. And He could have decided just not to create us. But instead, He planned from before creation to redeem us, to bring back His people to Himself. He didn't set man up to fail. He set man up to be rescued by His grace alone, through faith alone. And none of those things are things we can have without Him. So praise God today. We serve a holy and just God who is also loving and merciful. He is glorious and awesome. And I, for one, am full of awe for what He has done. Ladies, you can find the notes to this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, day 1, overview and introduction.